What's happening, man? It's your boy 911, and you tuned in to AVG Podcast. You know how we do it. Let's get to it. So it's been a while, man. As you know, I go by 911. That's my birthday. So last month, September, was my birth month. So I had a lot going on, a lot of moving around. You know, shot Louisiana, celebrated some stuff back home with the fam, my dad. 25-year class reunion, man. It's been a lot. We had a lot of shaking. Then, running with my son with football, man, and making sure I keep him engaged and doing what he needs to do on the field. So it's been a minute since I had a chance to touch bases with y'all, man, and just get back to the grind of getting back on the podcast, you know, putting out content. But I'm about to pick it back up. But it's been a lot going on, a whole lot. And so I just wanted to, you know, just tap in, do a quick segment, man, and just put my voice out there, my opinion on some of the things that I've seen transpire since the last podcast. You know, the last one I did, you know, we was beginning of football season, so we were just about to kick off football. So shout out them Cowboys, man. I know we started off, people thought we were writing us off after the first game, but we rebounded, shook back, and we looking respectable in the NFL streets. But anyway, long story short, man, today's topic, I want to talk about the system and the machine that is still alive and well. And I know sometimes, even people within our own community feel like, hey, we gotta let it go, and you know, everything's not revolved around race. And you have people from other communities was like, figure it out, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstrap. Stop blaming everything on race. Stop bringing everything on. But in lieu of what's been going on lately, I think that we can honestly say, and it's not like people like myself and others don't recognize it at any other time, but it's been stuff that's happening with a few topics that I'm going to touch on that let you know that racism is a part of American culture, was a part of American culture, and it's going to be a part of American culture. In a lot of ways, it's hidden now. So sometimes if some people don't see things in plain sight or for face value, they tend to think it's going away. I've heard some rappers, or seen some of the younger rappers, I should say, in the younger generation. I've even heard Wayne say it. That's more so my generation. So I'm not putting eyes all on the youngsters saying that they've never experienced racism. And that's crazy. Like, I don't know what rock you can be under, especially if you're from the South. Like, I'm from Louisiana, Wayne from New Orleans, so I don't know what rock you could be under to not experience racism. Now, true enough, somebody like Wayne seeing it, cat had money, shit, 9, 10 years old, you know, Hot Boys was already starting to break on the scene. You know, Baby them was playing with paper, so maybe you were shielded from it, so to speak, but there's no way to say you don't know about racism, or you never experienced, or you never seen it, or anything like that. It's just, I find that real hard to believe. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But to the matter at hand, I just had a few topics I wanted to kind of touch on and elaborate on a little bit. The first one, Mr. Brett Favre. Now, growing up, you can ask anybody that know me or my cousins, man, we loved Brett Favre. To me, he was one of the coolest, toughest white boys you could meet. We used to call him Dirty Foot, because he just always make a play happen. He'd always make some type of sidearm throw. A lot of stuff, you know, Patrick Mahomes is that, is what this new era sees about, you know, people throwing from any platform or making plays that you only see on Sandlot when it comes to football. Well, if you don't know, and if you didn't grow up in our era, Brett Favre was kind of that for us. Not as athletic as far as maybe running wise and stuff like Pat Mahomes and some of these newer quarterbacks can do, but definitely the arm talent. And see, some people, you know, once something, you know, pops up, it's kind of hard for some people to separate the person from whatever field they're in. Like, you know, if it's music, if it's sports or anything like that. But I'm not here to discredit what type of talent this man was on the field. He is one of the reasons that I'm not a Green Bay Packer fan, so to speak, but I've always kind of watched that team from afar and pulled for him because he was that dude. Like, he was literally that good. He was one of the quarterbacks. And see, I'm not the type of person like some people, they only pull for their team. They only like, oh, they talk down on everybody else. Nah, I'm not like that. It's dogs throughout the whole league. And he was one of the people that we considered a dog back in the day. And I pull for dogs, you know what I'm saying? Either I hate you because you're on a team I don't like, or I like seeing you play, I just respect your game. Either way, I've always respected talent and greatness, and that man definitely embodied that on the football field. Fast forward, post-playing career. We have this scandal going on now with him stealing $5 million or more. It may come out to be more, a little more, a little less. The number doesn't matter to me. It's who he took it from and the manner in which he took it that I have a problem with. And the reasoning behind it. Now, mind you, when I hear people talk about, you know, the amount he took and how long he had been talking back and forth with the former governor of Mississippi about what he was trying to do and all that stuff, I get it. But like I just said, remember, this man is an NFL Hall of Fame quarterback with a career that he was coming in and out of every offseason towards the end, wondering if he was going to play, wondering if he... So when I say a long-standing NFL career, I'm saying this to say, and I know he had his struggles and with pain pills and stuff, because like when I say he was a tough white boy, this was a tough white boy. You couldn't keep him off the field. Like, he wasn't the rule, some of the stuff in place that you couldn't breathe on quarterbacks now. Like, he was getting drilled. I know you remember the Bounty Gate with the Saints and all that stuff. Like, he was one of the ones that came up in that investigation and one of the ones that was targeted. I think he was with Minnesota at the time. This was back in his career. But even at an older, advanced age, you cannot keep him off the field. Tough as nails. So with that being said, he has accumulated, I don't know his net worth. Like I said, I know he had a struggle with pain pills and stuff like that. I don't know about his investments. I don't know about his portfolio. I don't know any of that. But I know as an NFL quarterback, Hall of Fame, he's accumulated a nice amount of money in the time that he plays sports. So the reason that he took this money and was going back and forth, got email threads, got chain of emails and a text between all the people involved, blatantly saying they know what they did, admitting to what they've done, but they were going to go ahead and do it anyway. That's their privilege shit. But the whole point of them taking this money was to appease him for a volleyball court for his daughter at Southern Miss, the college he went to school at and played at, was alumni at. And I guess now she's a student athlete. I don't know if she's still there with all this going on. It could be to her best interest not to be there, because this story has pretty much took a life of its own. But the whole start of the scandal was because he wanted a volleyball court bill. Do you understand the arrogance that you have to have to not only take the type of money that he took, but to feel like there were no repercussions, nothing was going to happen, there wasn't going to be any backlash? It just is what it is. And he took it from welfare recipients in the poorest state in the United States, Mississippi. Now, let's just for a second table the legal aspects of it. Forget that. We know it's against the law, as we saw in text messages and stuff like that. Him asking, are you sure they won't be able to trace this back to me? So obviously, you asking questions like that, you know you're doing something wrong. But all that aside, let's table the legal aspects of it. Do you understand how morally disgusting that is? To steal from the impoverished, the people that's below the poverty line, the people that are in dire need of help, the people that don't know where they're getting their next meal from, the people that's on all type of government assistance for whatever the reason may be. That's who you steal from? That's the equivalent of, you see a homeless person out there, you know, some people, like I'm from Louisiana, like I say, like, you go to like the Bayou Classic or you see different spots in different hoods, you might have somebody that's on a substance, but still is extremely talented. And people, you know, they have a little hat down, they collecting money or they doing this. And while he's distracted, someone comes up and take that from them. So what Mr. Favre was trying to do behind closed doors in the dark was basically take food and take resources out the mouth of people who didn't even know where they were getting their next meal from. So like I say, table the legal issues, all that aside, just the morality and moral aspect of how low down and dirty that is to have that thought process to even think to go through with something like that is what has alarmed me throughout this whole investigation. That's low. That's low. And now we get to the coverage of it. Michael Vick. We all remember Mike Vick, right? Shout out Mike Vick too, man. That's a story of redemption that I think everybody can get behind. Dog fighting scandal. When Kobe Bryant, God bless his soul, had the incident in Colorado. When numerous other black athletes have found themselves on the wrong side of the law, no matter what that was, whether it was women, sexual harassment, like Ime Udoka, I'm going to touch on that. When I say plastered across every news channel, every sports show, every ticker going along the bottom of the screen, everywhere you can put his face on what happened, you have a source at your fingertips which you can click on a link or click to a channel, and you cannot escape the story. And all we're talking about is allegations with some. Now, this might have been heavy allegations, or some of you like, huh? But they still were in the allegation process. No investigation had been taking place. No true hard evidence had been found. Strictly allegations. And you couldn't escape the story. It pulverized everything. You seen it everywhere. But this? For the longest, when I did hear it, I was wondering if it was like one of them clickbait things. Like, is this real? Because it literally was getting no coverage on ESPN, Fox Sports Network. Nobody was talking about it. But it made me think that maybe, okay, since it's in the investigation process, even though they got text messages outlining what he said, what was said back, where the money went, speeches that he was paid for, that he never showed up for, a charity that was fun, and how can I leave this part out? A breast cancer, a cancer awareness charity, being that his wife was a breast cancer survivor, I'm thinking she was a breast cancer survivor. I know cancer, so if I misspoke, don't quote me, but I know cancer for sure. Was a cancer survivor, and so people know that you're one of the faces and one of the people that, see, it's anybody can start, you know, charities and funds and stuff like that, but when you have a true story attached to a charity, when people know that you have an intimate relationship with whatever that charity is because you've been through it, you walked that, like, people know about the challenges his wife went through. People know that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. People know that he was the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers for the most of his career. And so I can imagine the money that was funded through that and given to that just off the strength of his name. Only to be taken with the privilege that he possesses for the color of his skin. Only for that money to be taken and misappropriated. And like I stated before, the fact that he did it, that's the lowest of the low. The fact that who he took it from is the lowest of the low. But what makes it even lower is you didn't even have that to do. You got the means, you got the bread to do what you wanted to do. Your name holds weight. You could walk the contractors. Hey, my daughter and the team, the volleyball team, and my alma mater, we need a new volleyball field. You can put your name behind something. You still was doing copper fit, running around throwing to Jerry Rice and giving high five. Quite sure that's a check. The public appearances that you were supposed to show up to, we know that was a check. Didn't show it. So you didn't even have that to do in Dunny. That's why I say forget the legal aspect of it. Just how morally dirty and low down this was appalling to me. And it truly took me by surprise because, like I say, Favre was one of those athletes that I was like, man, you think you know people from afar when they say don't meet your heroes, and I ain't meet him personally. But this story revealed a side of him that I didn't think existed. So that was a kind of hard one to just sit back and take in the coverage of it, him doing it. Just, it was a lot. It was a lot. The system is still in place. I mentioned Emay. Let's touch on him. Coach for the Boston Celtics. Everybody knows he's the fiance to Neil Long, recently caught up in a cheating scandal. Consensual. But I'm learning as the days go on and more and more stuff get revealed that it was kind of much more than that. It was a lot. I will say that. I'm not taking up for the guy. But the aggressiveness in which it was covered, the visibility in which the story had, the speculation that was able to be attached to it because of the way it was put out, that's what I had an issue with.
when I look at one hand, a white former athlete steal millions from the poorest state in America and the poorest people, welfare recipients, and the most sick and shut-in cancer patients. You had to be Sherlock Holmes to find a story. This guy just had an affair. Not poo-pooing it, not saying that Miss Neil Long, the wonderful Miss Neil Long, feelings shouldn't be taken in consideration and how she felt and all of it. But that was a singular act done to his partner. That's who that affected mostly, and it shamed him, of course, when the story broke out. But it didn't affect a segment of people. Now, of course, this is the new Me Too era, so people are going to come out and be outraged, and everybody has an opinion. So it affect people as far as that, per se. But as far as taking anything from, like, the poor or hurting anybody physically, wasn't done. But the aggressiveness in which this story was covered and the nature in which it was covered, you would think it was done. The system. The system is alive and well. So when people tell us it's a figment of our imagination, it's not what you think, oh, times have changed, I don't have that excuse no more. It's not an excuse when it's reality. We look at this, we live this, we see it. It's blatantly paraded in front of our face. With no repercussions. So this imagination that you think we have, this vivid imagination, imagination that we could touch, feel, and taste things, we need y'all to imagine with us sometimes. We need to stop exercising willful ignorance. I talked about that in the podcast before. You need to stop exercising willful ignorance and stop thinking about how can you combat our argument and make it look like we don't see what we are actually going through. Same way, point in hand, January 6th, the coup. Never in American history have you seen, even with the way that black people have been treated, mistreated, I should say, wrongful laws, not being awarded the same benefits and same access to loans for businesses as other cultures have that came here. On their own free will, I might add. Grants, loans. No matter what, we've always been a nation of people that go along and get along. No matter how much they try to call us savages and say we animals are barbaric, never have we done some shit like January 6th where we tried to storm the Capitol and take over and say, okay, we've tried your way, now it's time to do it our way. Wouldn't happen. Government wouldn't let it happen. If they heard this on a microphone, through a phone, or saw text threads trying to plan something like this, it might be another situation like Oklahoma. They might have would have bombed us in America. So we wouldn't have even gotten that same opportunity to even come close to sniffing a White House lawn, let alone parasol down from the windows and put our feet up on tape. We wouldn't even got there. We wouldn't even got to the front steps. We wouldn't even got past the gate. And we saw all the pictures and videos, how y'all were escorted in and all that stuff. So we know. But anyway. Like I said, it's amazing of how the system is still in place, intact, alive, and well. And the reason why no real change will happen
is because the people that benefit from it most know that we're given the same opportunities, even though we're people of love. Because trust me, of all the stuff we went through, we should be one storming, marching more than we are. And most of the time, it's peaceful. Even when we're protesting and marching in a reaction to somebody of our skin color that's been killed on the streets, made visible, a cop killed somebody else, let off. With all these variables, we're still marching in peace. That's met with resistance. Kneeling's met with resistance. So what more peaceful acts than holding a sign, speaking your grievance, freedom of speech, America, kneeling down. It's hard to be a threat when you're on your knees. What more of a peaceful, and y'all say y'all love Martin Luther King, that's what y'all try to feed us every year with them quotes. We see y'all. That's what y'all try to feed us every year with them quotes. What Dr. King did, a peaceful guy. Yeah, we hear all that. But we've shown, even in this time, we've had people that take peaceful approach and is still met with hostile resistance. What more can we do? And while we're in the politics arena, last but not least, wake up, Mr. West, Kanye West. Him and, if I'm not mistaken, Candace Owens show up to an event, overseas. I'm not quite sure where. I want to say it might have been London. With a White Lives Matter shirt on. And whether you agree with the Black Lives Matter movement or not, because it was started with good intention. It was probably somebody got in and infiltrated. Once any movement gets big, of course. So it might be stuff that you don't agree with it. But the premise and what it meant, what it stood for, was only that our lives should be valued. There should be repercussions for taking our lives, just like our counterparts. That's all it initially meant. Never said no other lives matter. Never said we should extinguish all other races. We simply wanted to highlight that Black Lives Matter, because it seems like at one point we were being hunted, and it's still going on. I do think it's died down a little bit. The coverage of it is not as bad as it was, but at one time it was like traumatizing. All across America, Black people winding up dead in the hands of the very same people that's supposed to help, serve, and protect. So the only point that the Black Lives Matter movement was trying to initially make was saying, hey, we're getting killed in these streets, slaughtered, and these cops getting paid vacation. Or a citizen kill us and they get to go home and sleep with their family. We just wanted the same repercussions that would have been levied upon us if the tables were turned. That was it. So for you to show up in a White Lives Matter t-shirt, and so you got to be careful with cats like Kanye, man. Because as ignorant as he act, he's a genius. Because guess what? You got little old me's and people around the world and all on the internet, guess who they talking about? Kanye West and his White Lives Matter shirt. So whether he believes it or not, whether he used it for attention or not, I understand he wants to run for presidency now and all that, make himself a candidate, all fine and dandy. Whatever you do at this point, yeah. But if y'all still supporting that fool buying shoes and Yeezys, something seriously wrong with you. Whether he believed it or not, to undermine what that initial message was, and you can say it's corrupt now and it's a scam, and it's a, to undermine what that initial message was and make a mockery of it. When has white lives ever been in question as mattering in America? Like I just talked about January 6th. Do you think if their lives didn't matter? Do you think if we stormed the Capitol? Because, like, I seen footage where police helping old women back down. They had got up in the Capitol. They helping them back down. This looked like my grandmother. This looked like my aunt. Let me help you. And I've seen video of footage of elderly black people, young black people, white people throwing stuff at them, kicking them, spitting on them, hitting them. With no regards, we don't look like them. We didn't matter. Didn't have the rights to vote. Couldn't eat at certain restaurants, couldn't drink from certain fountains. So when you say white lives matter, Kanye, when have they not mattered? When have they not been the majority? When have they not been the loudest voice in the room when it comes time to making rules, making stuff to benefit them? It's never been a case in American history. And for you to play on that for attention, I had already lost respect for you when that Trump parading around, make America great again, that Trump had on. You was dead in the water to meet him, bro. It don't matter. You don't know me. But that just showed me the type of mentality you have and what you're willing to do to advance yourself. That's a form of selfishness that you're showing. Because I know you're smart enough to know the difference and know what you're doing, but you're still acting on it anyway. That's what makes you dangerous. Because you actually know the deal. You know what's going on. And you had to break the market in the fashion industry. And you know that's gatekept by white people. And you know you was met with resistance. And you know you couldn't go to other people. You know Nike didn't want you. We could go on and on. But Mr. Wish, you filed for this one. You filed. And I know people like America's this land of second chances, and they people love a good redemption story. Nah, they miss me with that. If you rocking with Kanye, me and you don't share the same views, values. We just don't. It is what it is. And I'm good. I be good on the island with that, because how he moves, that's not how real ones move, man. You don't buddy up with that side and make a mockery of us and throw that in our for white lives matter, really? That's what we doing? White lives matter. As I stated, man, I could go on and on about this, but it's just so much going on right now. I did want to tap in. I did want to get in y'all ear, let y'all know what I was thinking in case you wonder what was my thoughts on some of these stories that's percolating throughout the cyber universe. And I know I've been silent, but like I said, I had a lot going on. But I really just want y'all to really sit back, listen to this pod, and really recognize how the system is still alive and well. Do what you have to do to operate outside that system. Do what you have to do to maneuver without losing your moral values and your moral compass get distorted and operate inside the system. Because some of us have to be in corporate America. You might have a degree that puts you in boardrooms and stuff, but you know people don't like you. Like, come on, man. Some of us have to deal, even if we got our own business, going into these banks and asking for loans. So you have to navigate within the system. The system is in place. It's not going nowhere. But at some point, it might be when I'm long gone, we're going to either have to operate and build our own system or tear this system totally down and reconstruct it from scratch and come with a new world order, one where we included, one where it's all inclusive. That's all we've been asking for. We're not trying to overthrow the government. We want the government to be fair. It's all we've ever asked for, all we've ever wanted. So it's good tapping back in with y'all, man. It's good doing a pod. I'm gonna be getting my groove back, stepping back in the arena, pumping some content out, You know, you always got the AVG apparel on deck. Tap in with me, man. Hit me up on AVG_podcast_9_11 on Instagram. You can put in orders, get you some apparel, and just keep up with me on all my social content, see the type of messages and content I'm putting out, and keep rocking with me, man. I love and appreciate all the support that you've been showing me since I've started this podcast. I can't say that enough. I have people asking me all the time, hey, I need a jacket. Hey, when you gonna drop another episode? So all the feedback I got, even if it's negative, I take that in consideration too. Because that's how you build. That's how you grow. I don't walk on water. I'm not perfect. So I appreciate it all, man. It all drives and keeps me going. So again, thank you for taking the time to listen. Always visualize your goals. And after that, accomplish those visualized goals. 9/11 AVG Podcast. Gone. One.